We jumped to Hebrews last week, and we're reading in the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 29. Excuse me. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea, as if it were dry land. But the Egyptians attempted to do so, and they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, and became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to the flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains, in the caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what is promised, since God had provided something far better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his rightful seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Excuse me. Picture, if you can, Mount Everest. Can you get the whole mountain in your picture? The Earth's highest mountain rises 29,029 feet above sea level. First conquered by Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay in 1953, it now attracts many climbers every year, some of whom die in their attempts to reach the summit. But what about the Mount Everest of ultra marathons? It's a little harder to picture, although the race was run earlier this summer. It goes from June 16th to August 6th. It's called the Self-Transcendent 3,100-mile race. It is the longest certified foot race in the world. Held in Queens, New York, the event challenges athletes to run 3,100 miles in 52 days. The runners begin at 6 a.m. and every day run for extended periods, taking breaks when needed. To meet this goal of 3,100 miles, they must run an average of 59.6 miles a day. Throughout this long and rigorous race, they try to set records and gain spiritual insights. A documentary called 3100, Run and Become, examines the philosophical side of this long-distance running. One athlete in the movie says that running is like a prayer and a teacher and a celebration of life. The Apostle Paul would certainly agree. After all, he asks the Christians at Corinth, "Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might win." And to Timothy, he says, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith." Paul doesn't mention Adam, but he could. After all, Adam was the fastest runner of all time. He was the first in the human race. Okay, it's a lame joke. Running language is found in the letter to the Hebrews as well. There in the 12th chapter begins with the words, "Therefore, since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Since the earliest days of the church, Christian faith has been linked to running. Run in such a way that you may win it. Finish the race and keep the faith. Run with perseverance the race that is set before you. The connection to be made today continues to be made today. On his 40th birthday, the Presbyterian pastor Henry Brinton was challenged by a Catholic priest to run the Marine Corps Marathon. The goal seemed crazy, since Brinton had no experience as a runner, and the prospect of running 26.2 miles was daunting. But Britton needed a midlife challenge, and his priest friend had run several marathons, so he gave him some tips and turned him loose. The first time the pastor hit the road, he ran for 3 minutes, had to stop, gasping for breath. After walking for 7 minutes, he was able to run for another three, and then he walked another seven and ran another three. Do you see a pattern developing? Over the weeks, his running increased and his walking decreased until he could run for an hour. Then he could run for 2 hours. "If you can run for 2 hours, you can run for 4 hours," his priest friend said. "If you can run for 4 hours, then you can do the marathon." Well, the priest was right. 6 months after beginning his training, Britton finished the Marine Corps Marathon in a respectable 4 hours and 12 minutes. He felt as though he'd been through boot camp, but his wobbly elation at the finish line made the pain all the worthwhile. "Marathon training has become a meditation for me," says Britton. "An opportunity to think, to dream, to pray, to solve problems. Besides enjoying the fabled endorphin rush, I've been amazed at the clarity of mind I experience. I have come to appreciate how exercise cuts through the clutter of life and gives me the gift of simplicity." "For a few hours each week, I can think clearly. In a career dominated by phone calls, emails, meetings, counseling sessions, sermon preparation, it's calming to spend some time focused on the path set before me." Running is really a prayer, a teacher, and a celebration of life. run and become. Not all of us are runners, of course. And those who do run might be more comfortable with a 100-yard dash than a 3,100-mile ultra marathon. But whether we run or we walk, we can grow in the faith by joining the race laid out in the letter to the Hebrews, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. When you think about it, Christian life is a race. It's long and it's rigorous. And the Mount Everest of spirituality lays there in our path. So what is the challenge? Why is it so difficult? How can we run better? First, the challenge. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, says the writer. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell when they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the Jewish spies in faith and in peace. In the face of each of these enormous challenges, the people of God had faith. They did not overcome obstacles with their intellect or their technology or their physical strength, but with their faith. They trusted the Almighty God to work for good in their lives, every time, in every place, in every situation. Faith is trust, pure and simple. It is the willingness to lean on God and to believe that God will lead you through the difficulties of life, so that you will be able to run the race, to join the Apostle Paul in saying, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." The primary challenge of the Christian life is quite simply keeping faith. So why is faith so difficult? According to Hebrews, faith is difficult because it does not lead immediately to an easy and comfortable life. Over the years, people of faith have suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in the skins of sheep and goats. They've been destitute, persecuted, tormented. They've wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground. You name it, Christians have been there and suffered it. Christian life would be much easier if our faith freed us from all that pain and suffering. But it does not. We all experience sadness, said Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa. We all come to times of despair. And we all lose hope that our suffering in our lives and in our world will ever end. But sadness and suffering are not the end. Tutu had faith that suffering could be transformed, and he said that. God is an expert at dealing with chaos, with brokenness, with all the worst that we can imagine. God created order out of disorder. Cosmos out of chaos. God can do that always and can do that now. Faith is difficult because it involves pain, even more suffering than the anguish of an ultra marathon. God brings order out of disorder in our personal lives and in our communal lives as well. God leads us towards the finish line, which is the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So how can we run better? The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of joy, was set before him and endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Friends, we can learn a lot from our role models and our coaches in the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. The men and women who have run the race of faith through the enormous challenges and difficulties that life has presented. We can go a lot further when we run with perseverance that race that is set before us, not giving up when we feel pain, suffering, or sadness. We can run the very best when we look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus endured agony and the shame of the cross, the Mount Everest of pain. And he did it to bring us forgiveness for sin, as well as to help us not grow weary or lose heart. Run and become. When we run the race of faith, we become the people God wants us to be. Remember, God is always working for good in your lives, in every time and place and situation. God is an expert at dealing with chaos and brokenness. And Jesus is running ahead of us to show us how to deal with pain and how to cross that finish line in the city of the living God. Yes, running is the celebration of life, a prayer, and a teacher. But it is not as good a teacher as Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen.